Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support. Welcome back for the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Thomas von Hagel joins us. On this day, the church is remembering Polycarp. It's an unusual name, but the man is even more extraordinary. St. Polycarp, a bishop, a martyr, the 2nd century, and he takes us very far back into the church's earliest days. Dr. Thomas von Hagel is professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago, and author of the book One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. Dr. von Hagel, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Does Polycarp get us within a striking distance of the apostles themselves?
Polycarp probably was put to death about 155 A.D., and the title that's often used for him and some of his colleagues are the Apostolic Fathers. It's not that they were apostles, but they were that next generation right after the apostles. So someone like Ignatius of Antioch, who was put to death about 107 A.D., and Clement, who was bishop in Rome in the late 90s, and then Polycarp getting towards the end of that group, but I say about 155. So, yeah, there's certainly overlap between the apostles then and these apostolic fathers, Polycarp included.
Is the connection between Polycarp and the apostle John a solid one that we can say with a reasonable certainty actually existed?
Yeah, no doubt, because John the Apostle seems for a while was in Ephesus in Asia Minor, and then Polycarp would have been raised in Smyrna, which was not that far from Ephesus in Asia Minor as well. And I mean, not unlike today when a famous theologian or anyone that's rather significant is in the area, people travel and to go hear them speak, or to, if you're a student, to learn at the feet of a great scholar. And so, I mean, not only others, but Polycarp as well is one who went to Ephesus, you know, a relatively short travel from Smyrna, and then would have been able to listen to and study under John the Apostle in his early days.
He also, this is kind of an era of giants. I mean, one would expect it immediately following the apostolic era, but he also seems to have at least corresponded with two other greats, Irenaeus and Ignatius.
Right, yeah. Ignatius is, this rather significant individual, bishop in Antioch, who is arrested, taken under armed guard to Rome, and then as he travels from the eastern half of the empire, you know, in Syria, just north of the Promised Land, all the way to the western half of the empire in Rome to be fed to the lions, he writes a series of letters to churches and Christians, and he writes a letter to Polycarp, and it appears that, you know, they knew each other. Polycarp also writes a letter to the Philippians, the Christian church in Philippi, and then seems that he was the teacher of Irenaeus, you know, one of the really bright lights of the early church, writes against the heresies and the defense of the apostolic teaching, and so you have John the Apostle, who studied under Jesus, you know, follower of Christ, and then Polycarp, who studied under John, and then Polycarp teaches Irenaeus, and then Irenaeus travels to Lyon, which would be in southern Europe in Gaul, and is a bishop there, and fights against the heretics, and also speaks, you know, writes well of the Christian church as well. So, Polycarp's kind of seems right in the midst of some rather heady theologians of the day. So he's a rather interesting character from any number of different perspectives, I guess.
Well, he's most famous, of course, for what is an actually very detailed account of his martyrdom. Tell us the story.
Well, it's thought to be the oldest really reliable story portrayal we have of a martyrdom after the Passion of Christ in the Gospels. So Polycarp is a bishop in Smyrna. Word is out that he's a bishop, and the local authorities are persecuting Christianity. And one of the practices of the day was, in terms of efficiency, was rather than persecuting every single Christian, oftentimes the attempt was to, if you could get a hold of the bishop and get him to recant the Christian faith at the threat of death, that you could, you know, cause all of his followers, or at least many of them, to also possibly recant and to, you know, run helplessly away. And so being a bishop, you know, he becomes a target. They send soldiers to arrest him. He's been a bishop for years. He's an older man. He's ready to die for the sake of Jesus and the gospel, but his followers talk him at least initially into to running into to seek hiding. So he travels around a bit, and then finally he has a dream of a pillow on a billow of fire, and foretelling that his time is end of his days are near, and how he'll die. And one of the members of his company, a servant boy, turns him in so that the soldiers know where to find him. And Polycarp isn't afraid to die. He you know, greets the soldiers, and he has a last meal with his followers, and he's allowed to go and retreat and pray a bit. He's taken into town, riding on a donkey, and the governor, local governor, happens to be named Herod, and you know, he's given the opportunity to recant of the Christian faith, but he doesn't, and so then he's taken into the local arena where he's going to be martyred. And it's I mean, up to even this point, in just kind of casual listening, it's not too difficult to note some similarities that are portrayed with the Passion of Christ and the Passion of Polycarp. But maybe we'll get back to that later. But so they get to, Polycarp is taken to the arena, and he's threatened with death if he does not recant the Christian faith. And, you know, just a very devout and rather wise elderly statesman of the church. He's told to call the Christians atheists, and that they should be away and recant the Christian faith. For Christians today, we think, you know, why in the world would Polycarp or even the Romans consider Christians atheists? But in the day when many people were polytheists, had, you know, not only two or three or 20 or 30 gods and goddesses that they believed in and prayed to and offered sacrifices, Christians with only one god seem closer to atheism than any kind of religion that they were used to, that had multiple deities.
We've got about one minute here.
Oh, I'm sorry. So while he's there, he's supposed to call the Christians atheists and to be away with them, but instead he calls the Romans atheists and away with them. And he has, you know, fearlessly then he's willing to suffer martyrdom. So he prays out loud his public confession of faith. They're going to burn him alive, and the fires won't burn him. So a soldier goes in and stabs a knife into his chest, and the blood pours out and puts out the fire, and a dove proceeds out and wings off to heaven, and he has died for the Christian faith. But you said a detailed thing. I kind of passed over a few things, so I don't know what we got time for yet.
Well, our time is actually up, but you've given us a very beautiful account of the death of this martyr, St. Polycarp. Dr. Thomas von Hagel, thank you for being our guest.
Okay, Thanks for having me.
Dr. Thomas von Hagel is professor of theology at Concordia University, Chicago. The book he's written called One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, Christians Through the Centuries. You can purchase One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can order this book online. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand, One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism, by Dr. Thomas von Hagel. If you appreciate programs like this one on church history and the men and women who populate it, please partner with us by making a tax-deductible gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And you can also donate online. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Peter Scare about the Apostle Matthias. He's the latest, the last of the apostles, at least of the 12. He gets tossed in there at the very end after Judas is gone, and we'll discuss atonement in the Old Testament, propitiation, a fancy term for Jesus is your substitute in life, in suffering, in death, and in resurrection. That's what propitiation means. We'll talk about that with Dr. Stephen Hine as we continue our series with him. It would have taken just a pinch of incense to the emperor, just a simple concession on Polycarp's part to avoid the flames and the steel of death, but he wouldn't do it. He would confess Christ to the end. May we all do the same. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.